Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." This proverb is thematically connected to the previous one. Both proverbs are issuing a warning about boasting. Verse 1 warns the reader against boasting about the future, and here in verse 2, the proverb warns the reader not to boast about themselves. As we discussed in the previous episode, the book of Proverbs doesn't have a positive view of boasting in general. We looked at a couple of places in Proverbs that show how boasting is connected with pride and arrogance, and that boasting indicates an attitude of one's own self-importance that is connected with wickedness and foolishness. Thus, when a person boasts about their character or accomplishments, it is an attempt to bring attention and admiration toward who they are and what they can do. This sort of self-absorbed way of thinking betrays humility and modesty, which are virtues of a wise person. It is foolishness that promotes self-centeredness and a desire to feel important in the eyes of others. Now, let me clarify. It is not evil or wrong to want to be appreciated or viewed as important by others. Part of being loved by someone consists of their attitude toward you being one of how you are a special person to them. They value who you are and enjoy your character, qualities, and personality. I think each one of us can testify to the joy we experience when someone else tells us what they like about us, or how much they appreciate us, or what a great job we did. I can remember as a little boy growing up on a small farm in rural Midwest Ohio, how I really enjoyed going into my dad's workshop and building things. I would collect pieces of spare wood from around the shop and then start pounding nails into the boards to construct whatever my mind came up with. It was like going from playing with Legos to real life. Most of the time, I would create things that had no real purpose to them. They were just pieces of wood attached together and then stacked on top of each other. But I vividly remember this one time I found the right pieces and was able to construct a wooden box. I was so proud of what I had made that when I was finished, I picked it up and ran inside and started yelling, "Daddy, Daddy, look what I made you!" When I found my dad sitting in the living room, I plopped the wooden object on his lap and looked up at him with eyes beaming, waiting for his reaction. He turned to me, looked at what I had made, and said, "Oh, wow, good job, son." And then he went back to what he was doing. I picked up my box and walked out of the room slowly, almost ready to cry. I had created this masterpiece, and all I got was a "good job, son"? I'm pretty sure my little adolescent brain was probably expecting some sort of grandiose display of amazement by my dad, and him flattering me with all kinds of praise and exclamations of how amazing it was for me to have made something like this for him. I tell you this story because I want to make a point that desiring the praise of others is not something bad that we should suppress or view as evil or wrong. Now, ultimately, we should desire our praise to come from God. But just as children so earnestly desire the praise of their parents, as adults, we still desire the praise of our friends and family. We want others to recognize the great things about us and our achievements. But can this desire go too far? Absolutely. Some people struggle emotionally and feel a deep need to be accepted or admired by others in order to feel good about themselves. And they will do whatever they can and seek out whatever they can to obtain the praise of others. But let's keep in mind that Proverbs 27 verse 2 isn't saying that it's wrong to be desired to be praised. Rather, it's advocating against a person praising themselves in front of others. In other words, we are not to boast about ourselves. A common English expression that captures this same meaning is, "Don't toot your own horn." Proverbs 16:5 says, "Every arrogant heart is an abomination to Yahweh." Boasting is a manifestation of pride, and it reflects an arrogant heart, one that is filled with self-importance and egotism. Instead, what the proverb says we should do is let someone else say good things about us. It says, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. We are not to allow our mouth and lips to boast about ourselves. As is commonly found in the book of Proverbs, the words mouth and lips are simply metonymies for the words that are spoken with the mouth and lips. The prohibition in the proverb is against us doing the talking about ourselves. Rather, we're to let a stranger praise us. Now, hold on a second. It seems kind of strange that we're supposed to let a stranger praise us. It seems difficult to imagine that what the proverb is saying is that people we are unacquainted with are supposed to be the ones doing the praising. Well, what about a friend? Or what about a coworker, a colleague, or a fellow peer? Are they not supposed to say good things about us? The Hebrew word, translated stranger, can also mean foreigner, but it doesn't refer to somebody from a different country or someone who is entirely unacquainted with who you are or where you live. In the book of Proverbs, the word stranger often implies someone who is outside. They could be outside of your family, friends, or social circle. Moreover, there are a number of proverbs that talk about staying away from the strange or foreign woman. Well, what makes a woman strange or foreign? Is she weird? Or is she an immigrant from another country? Or something like that? No, she is foreign to you. She is not joined together with you in marriage. She is an outsider, and therefore sexual intimacy with her is forbidden by God. And so you are to stay away from the stranger foreign woman, one whom you're not committed in the covenant of marriage to. Okay, so what does all this mean in regard to Proverbs 27:2? It means that a stranger simply implies someone other than yourself, someone outside yourself. And furthermore, the term stranger probably alludes to somebody who knows you, because receiving praise from a complete stranger is of questionable value. They don't know you, and you don't know them. Their compliment or kind words may be sincere, or may be just lip service, and not truly genuine. And so the people that the proverb likely has in mind are people in your life who understand the significance and value of who you are and what you have done, not some stranger off the street that you've never met before. But that doesn't mean that receiving praise from someone you don't know is entirely meaningless. If the person truly understands the importance of your accomplishments or actions, then that praise is very likely authentic and heartfelt. And if someone who has no vested interest in you speaks well of you, that is a profound testimony of your character or abilities and should be humbly received and appropriated for what it represents, good character and conduct that is recognized even by a total stranger. To illustrate this proverb, I would like to share a story about a man named John Herp, but to his friends, he always went by the name Jack. Jack Herp was born into a Christian family and grew up near Cleveland, Ohio. Upon graduating from high school, Jack served in the United States Navy and then graduated from Western Reserve University with a business degree and settled near Grand Rapids, Michigan. Jack was a faithful church-going Christian and was willing to help wherever it was needed. When the pastor of the nearby South Lawn Church of God had a sudden heart attack in the spring of 1962, Jack offered to step in and preach on Sundays. He did this consistently for months following. The time he spent preaching seemed to have a profound effect upon Jack, because only about a half a year later in the fall of 1962, at the age of 36, Jack decided to shift gears in his life and enroll in Oregon Bible College in preparation for full-time ministry. The summer after he graduated from the Bible College, Jack got married and then began his first pastorate at a small church in Ripley, Illinois. But only a year later, Jack, his wife, his mother, and another Christian lady were in a terrible car accident where their car was struck by an oncoming train across unmarked railroad tracks. Jack was the only survivor. But Jack was a man of faith, and he continued to trust in God in the wake of this tragedy. Eventually, Jack did get remarried in the years that followed, and over the course of the following four decades, he served faithfully as the pastor in the Glad Tidings Church in Fonthill, Ontario, Canada, the Lawrenceville, Ohio Church of God, and the Chapel Hill Church of God in Urbana, Ohio. Jack loved working with people. He was very outgoing and given to hospitality. He was very involved in the communities where his churches were located, and he was well known by many who were outside his church. He lived a modest life and always drove around an old Mercury car of some sort. He didn't live in big houses or have fancy clothes. He was a tall man, but very humble and gentle in his manner of life. He touched the lives of countless people and served the Lord faithfully throughout his life. In 2010, Jack Herp passed away, leaving behind a wonderful memory of a man with a servant heart. You might now wonder where the story is going. Well, that requires me to tell you the second part. In the spring of 2011, a bank representative from the State Bank and Trust Company walked into the Atlanta Bible College building in McDonough, Georgia. The Atlanta Bible College was formerly located in Oregon, Illinois, and was named the Oregon Bible College. This was the school where Jack had done his ministerial education and training years ago. The bank rep announced that the building was in foreclosure. Well, the Church of God General Conference had been renting the top floor of the building to house the Atlanta Bible College offices and classrooms, and they were likely going to be forced to move out. The bank was planning to sell the building within the matter of a couple months. At the Church of God General Conference in Omaha, Nebraska in July 2011 that year, it was proposed that the Church of God should attempt to purchase the building. Now, the building was a multi-million dollar building, and the General Conference didn't have anywhere near that amount of money available. The conference attempted to secure a real estate loan, but they were turned down by every bank they went to, a total of 6 banks in all. No bank was loaning money to churches at that time. But they decided to make an offer on the building at about 25% of its value, which was still far outside their financial means. But it was immediately turned down. The General Conference had decided to do some fundraising for the building purchase, and in a short amount of time, they were able to raise close to $200,000. But this was only a fraction of what would even be remotely needed for purchasing the building. During this time of uncertainty concerning the future of the Atlanta Bible College campus, the staff at the college would routinely have prayer walks around the building, praying at each of its corners and at its entrance. After about a month or so, when it looked like there was not going to be a way to continue using the current property for the college, an email appeared in the inbox of the president at the time, Dr. Joe Martin. The email conveyed that the Church of God General Conference was the prime beneficiary of Pastor Jack Herp's estate in Springfield, Ohio, and it was a sizable amount, the value of which enabled the college to then make a cash offer on the building. And to the joy of everyone at the college, it was accepted soon after by the bank. The Atlanta Bible College was there to stay and continue using the current facilities to train and educate pastors for the work of ministry. Jack was a generous man during his life, but his generosity and love for the Lord in sharing the money he had saved throughout his life was undeniable after his death, as his gift paved the way for the Atlanta Bible College to become owners of the campus property on Avalon Parkway in McDonough. Since then, the Atlanta Bible College has been blessed to remain in its present location and offer Christian education and pastoral training for men and women to grow in the Lord and their service to Him. Unfortunately, I never had the privilege of meeting Jack, but I've been the recipient of numerous stories from his close friends and colleagues. Lots of wonderful things have been said about Jack, and what I wanted to do in this illustration for the podcast is to add yet another voice along with all those who are thankful for what he did for the college, and to share with others the story of his incredible heart to give and serve. It definitely is a story worthy of praise. If we think about the proverb in terms of our own lives, they don't have to consist of a grand gesture of charity like Jack's in order to be worthy of praise from others. Wisdom tells us to work hard, be loving and gracious, walk faithfully with the Lord, and do what is right. If we do these things, our lives will be filled with stories of praise from others. But even if people don't recognize us to the degree we would like or say enough about the good things we have done, Yahweh, our God, doesn't miss a beat. He sees everything we do, and nothing will escape His notice. we each will receive all the due praise and glory from God. So we don't need to boast about ourselves, but are to let someone else speak well of us. But no matter what others say or don't say, we should entrust ourselves to God, knowing that He will be faithful to reward us for the things we've done that are pleasing to Him and worthy of praise. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.